VIP. Let's kick it.
This is Maven Huffman, and you're listening to Below Zero Radio.
What is up, wrestling fans, and welcome to a very special edition of Below Zero Radio, brought to you by Prairie Pest Control, and frankly, this time, brought to you by Below Zero Wrestling. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, when you're getting this podcast, it is more than likely 24 hours, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, from our biggest show of all time in WinterSlam, and we want to treat the podcast listeners right. So right now, hop online, if you haven't yet, get those BZW tickets and use promo code PODCAST. Nick's in the background. Nick, we going 10 or 15? 10% off any BZW ticket. That promo code is PODCAST. Nobody else, we're not publicizing this. You got to be listening to Below Zero Radio. Promo code PODCAST, 10% off your WinterSlam tickets. I buried the lead here, folks, though. And that would be, we have former WWE superstar and current, I don't think it's underselling it to say, YouTube sensation, Maven Huffman. Maven, how you doing, man?
I am well. Far from sensation. Former WWE wrestler is fine. And YouTube novice.
No, fair enough. Well, if you're a novice, you're quite the successful novice, Maven, with a channel right now. Zach, what do we got for a current follower count? 280,000 multiple videos as I perused, between 1.5 million views and 2 million views, just absolutely on a, I wouldn't say a daily basis because they're not doing videos every day, but super impressive. I should introduce myself, the voice of BZW, Showtime Rocky Allen, forgot to do that, but I was excited. I was rattled. I mean, we don't have a guy like Maven in here every single day. First, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for being the host of WinterSlam.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm excited to be here. I wish it was a little warmer. I'm not going to lie. Allergic to cold weather. But I do know I'm in the right place because you just put your man on the spot asking him what the percentage was. You completely threw him under the bus.
Hey, I got to tell you, I make very few decisions around here, so I got to go to the people that do. I also got to tell you, this stuff that you see here on the ground right outside the windows at the beautiful Below Zero Studios here in Horace, North Dakota, this grass,
yeah,
that ain't normal.
No, I was
actually shocked. You say it's too cold. Like, you have no idea what you could have come to on a February 15th in Fargo, North Dakota.
What's crazy is I left my house, and it's completely covered in snow. And I come here, and there's grass.
Right, play golf if you want to.
There's brown grass out here.
Absolutely. Okay, so for people that don't necessarily, and it's you know, we've talked, but people that might not remember who Maven is, because we've had, as you mentioned, a resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that a little bit before the show. Just kind of quick, like your bio, your accomplishments. Who is Maven Huffman for, again, maybe our younger listeners or maybe our listeners that are really just kind of tuned into BZW? Who is Maven Huffman?
Like a lot of times on the channel, we'll get comments and it'll be people that say, I have no clue who you were. I didn't watch your career,
sure,
but I love what you're doing. That's my favorite comment to get. I mean, if you think about it, I debuted in 2001. That's 23. Is my math right there?
You're on.
That's so many years ago. I mean, so for newer wrestling fans, I would expect them not to know me. But my path to the wrestling business was, at the time, it was a bit different than sure. most. I got to the WWE. It was the WWF at the time. I got there through a reality show, and it was the first of its kind. They had never attempted anything like that. It was called Tough Enough. Now, when I did Tough Enough, this was during the, I want to say, almost reality show boom.
Yeah.
But it was before you could make the kind of money on reality shows that they make now. I mean, the Jersey Shore kids make, what, like $250K per episode? We did not make that.
Sure.
Yeah. And like you, I don't want to bury the lead because we're going to do a video on it. But I'm going to talk about how much I actually made on the reality show. And it was.
Because you ended up doing another reality show, right?
I did. Yeah. I did a bunch of them.
Sure. Sure. how'd you get here? Because that's why, right. and we're obviously super appreciative of you being here, but the idea that Maven would be the host of Winter Slam, many would say, how'd this happen?
Yeah, how the hell did this happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Maven does not like to speak in the third person, but Maven will do it on this one occasion.
So, fair enough.
I do not like cold weather. Hate cold weather. So for me to be in Fargo
for a company called Below Zero,
it all links back to that word you used earlier and resurgence. After my WWE career, after I toiled on the indies for a year, once I did a few other reality shows, once I did some hosting work with both BET and HSN. I pretty much walked away from the wrestling business
altogether.
It wasn't due to a lack of love of wrestling. I loved it. I always will love it. But it was just a difficulty. I couldn't watch it anymore. It was just tough because I was still fairly young. I was in my early 30s and I'm watching and I'm like, man, I still have that in me. And, to have it taken away, it was just tough. So it just became easier to not watch it, to put that in the rear view and try not to think about it. But the way I got to BZW, the way I got to hosting Winter Slam, the way I became a YouTuber, I'm going to leave the word sensation out.
I'll use it. It'll be fine.
Hey, that's fine. Yeah, I'll let you do it.
Yeah.
The way I got there is a gentleman, he reached out to me last year, last April, and he had a question for me. He was like, hey, I'm a current YouTuber. I have a channel that, maybe you've seen. It's very, just very informative. I checked it out and I was like, this kid does good work. I mean, he's it's hard to teach me stuff in the wrestling business. And he was teaching me from his channel. And then he had an idea. Why don't we do a channel? I think there's a platform of, just stories that can be told the way it was done during your time. And, we spitballed the idea. We had a few Zoom calls where we literally just, what kind of videos could we put out? And, he told me, he's like, now we're going to have to be honest and you're going to have to go into, parts of your life that might not be easy. But I was on board. I was like, let's do it. Let's go all the way in. The gentleman that I do my YouTube channel with, my YouTube partner, just so happens to be one of the guys who
runs. To be my boss.
He is your boss.
Right.
And he happens to be one of the guys that runs BZW. When he asked me a few months ago if I would, host Winter Slam, the answer was a quick absolutely. Sure.
Why do you think the YouTube video channel has been so successful? And I find
because I'm amazing.
Yeah, I find it interesting. I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't laugh. But
yeah, wow, you can at least act like that.
But like the for example, and we don't want to necessarily put over somebody else's podcast, but like Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love, not the most famous WWE figure of all time, his podcast is insane, the numbers that you don't necessarily have to be Hogan or Austin, although Steve's podcast seems to be doing just fine,
right?
But you don't need to be Hogan or Austin to make it on YouTube or make it as a podcaster. So why do you think you guys have been so successful?
We tap into two things that are very important in this when you're trying this media or when you're trying this platform. One, we're informative. We try to teach something. We go into every video with, what do the casual fans not know about wrestling?
Sure.
But what have they maybe wondered forever? For instance, one of our early videos about pay. How much money did I make? That's something that I guarantee you everybody wonders. So we're informative first and foremost. And second, I don't think I could do a podcast like Bruce, like Steve, and have the success that they have because I'm just not a big enough, I wasn't a big enough name. So how do we circumvent? How do we get around that? We give bite-sized bits of information that is so well edited and so well put together. It's crafted in a way where we're almost telling a story and we're not demanding too much of your time.
Sure.
We're literally asking for between 8 to at the most maybe 30 minutes of your time. Everybody has that. That could be a while you're traveling. That could be while you're getting ready in the morning. It could be at your lunch break. So we're not asking for too much of your time. And we also, we dip into nostalgia. Anytime, you know, somebody can go back and be like, oh my gosh, I remember that. Or I remember, or I've always wondered that. And not asking too much of their time and teaching them at the same time. I think it's just, I think it's made for a perfect, just a perfect storm of finding success for someone. And I have no problem admitting I'm, yeah, I when he asked me to do it, I was like, are you sure you want me? And because there's bigger name guys out there, but those big name guys, they might not, you know, be freely wanting to give all of themselves.
Sure.
Or maybe they might have a in their mind what they think is success. I leave it completely 100% up to him. He tells me this is what we're doing, and I'm like, no problem. I'm on board.
Put my guy over. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I want you to keep your job.
Yeah, Showtime Rocky Allen, nothing if not a professional. And I listened to your appearance on Busted Open.
Okay.
Kind of in preparation or just because, you know, you're at least in a you're part of the BZW family. You're part of the, you're not necessarily here every day, obviously part of the crew, but you're at least a cousin, if nothing else.
I'm a third cousin.
And you talked about this, and you just mentioned it again, the length of the videos. Mm-hmm. And you feel like that kind of drives a part of your success. And I don't necessarily mean to keep talking about, but like Bruce's podcast is damn near 2 hours long every time. It's super long form story. And
yeah,
obviously tapping into the very same or similar nostalgia that you're talking about, but incredibly long form. And Conrad has what has to be 3 pages of notes and going on and on. But you're shooting for, I believe you said, like there's a certain mark where you're trying to get multiple ads in. Is that like the 8 minute mark?
That 8 minute mark.
Yeah, that's good. That's key. But beyond that, you're not trying to go to 40.
Nah.
And so can you kind of explain kind of what, besides just the YouTube ad algorithm that we are all chasing, you know, what's the reasoning behind that?
Well, all right. And I like to look at it as the hamburger theory.
Okay.
And here's why. If I tell you that that let's go to a burger place.
Yeah.
And I tell you that the burger is $9.99, you might buy it. The minute it gets to $10, nah, I'm not spending double digits on a hamburger.
Sure.
It's almost the same with us. If you, an hour, that's a tough ask for anybody in their time, unless you're a diehard fan, unless it's something that you just live by and you just have to take in and consume that information. Whereas I think with us, it's not a tough ask. You know, we might do, I say our normal video length is probably around the 11 to 14 minute mark. That's easy to sit through. That's bite-sized information, little chunks, just a little bit. And the way I know that is because we're always leaving people wanting more. We always get comments of people asking us to either put more videos out or make longer videos.
Sure.
But what we're doing right now, you know, we found a little bit of success with this model. If I had to do an hour podcast every week, let's say I didn't have to book guests.
Sure.
Do I think I could do it? Absolutely. I think I could. I mean, I could talk for 20 minutes about making a ham sandwich if you let me, but I don't want to get to the point to where, you know, we're just wearing people out.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, like I'm 40 minutes into this and there's still 20 minutes left, you know, and I've got something to do. So I think we have found that perfect little, you know, that time cue that works for us.
And I think the video game is different from the podcast game because, as you know, I mentioned, I mean, I try to be a pro. I've been a student of the podcast game for a long time. Mm-hmm. We've always shot for between 35 and 40 minutes.
Right.
And the big thing is what I've always been told is you're going after not necessarily 100%, right? But what are you really going after? The commuters?
Yes.
And the workout people.
Yep.
And what's the average length of a workout? Average length of the American commute? It's right in that 30 to 40 minute thing, but that's audio only. I can't drive and watch your videos, or I darn sure shouldn't, right? And I can't necessarily, like, probably on the treadmill, but if I'm doing any other type of workout, I'm not watching a Maven video at the gym. So,
that's when we want you to listen to them and then watch them again when you get home.
There you go. Absolutely. Okay.
But you're 100% right.
Yeah.
And but
the thank you for saying that. Yeah. I appreciate what people say.
give them a raise. The great thing about where we're at, though, in just with technology today, is success can come in many forms. Success for me is different than success for Bruce, or different than success for Stevie, or success for Rene Dupree. Rene, did his podcast,
but
not too long ago.
Not the biggest wrestling superstar in the history of the business.
Exactly.
Yeah. But is doing awesome.
But he does it, and he does just a different form than we do. And it's funny because Rene will get guests, and I love it because I've never done his show and had him not get up during the show and go like walk off for 3 minutes. And it's just like that works for him. I couldn't imagine doing that.
Sure.
But it's just great because people naturally think that when you get into this game, you have to be competitive. And I don't think that could be further from the truth. Success for me can only help a Bruce, a Rene, a Vince Russo, anyone else in this game, because we're not competing for a specific time slot. We're competing for eyeballs, and eyeballs that watch my stuff might get directed to one of those guys afterwards. And then we've all won.
Sure. So we're obviously an independent wrestling company.
Right.
There's no question about that. And one thing that, Nick and I have talked about even on the first episode of the show was our goal is to provide an awesome product for a region that wasn't previously being, catered to
at underutilized. This time.
Our goal is to provide opportunities for our guys to get reps. And our ultimate goal would be, hey, it'd be really cool to see one of our guys in the big show.
Right.
That was not your path.
No, it was not.
And for so many, you look at Seth Rollins used to be Tyler Black.
Yeah.
And he is the world champion right now.
Absolutely.
And in that list, we could go all day talking about guys that made their bones on the indies. But your first match was on SmackDown.
My second match was on SmackDown. My third match was on SmackDown. Yeah, I definitely took a different path. And when I talk to people, and I think that was probably the main heat that I had going into the business was definitely that I circumvented a lot of the steps that people take to get to that stage. I didn't have my first indie match until I'd been in the business for five or six years.
Sure. And that's kind of the next thing I want to ask you about is you're here with us, BZW. I'm sure we're not your first stop in the history of Maven on the indie circuit. What kind of is your love?
But my best stop.
We appreciate that. But what's your kind of love and appreciation for the indies, even though it's not the way you came up, but your love and appreciation for kind of our circuit or what these guys are doing. And some of them are very happy to be doing it. Some of them view it as I'm on the ladder,
right.
and I'm on my way up.
Yeah. Passion. You do not take part. You don't do indie wrestling unless you're passionate about it. No one's doing this to, I don't think they're doing it to feed their family. They're doing it because they have a love for the business. Now, some that love might extend to, I want to be a Seth Rollins. I want to be a Roman Reigns.
Eventually, I'd like to feed my family. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. But at the most of these guys are going out and they're making gas money. They're making enough money to feed them for the night and fill their tank up. But it's just another stepping stone to where they eventually want to get. But that's not everyone's path. There are some people that they do. They just want to be a part of the wrestling world. They just want to be, for lack of a better phrase, be a wrestler. And independent wrestling just provides that as well. I have seen some of the best wrestling matches of my life at indie shows before. I was doing an indie show probably 6 or 7 months ago, and I saw a tag team, and I'd never heard of them, and they were called Amish Country. And, yeah, they had the look. They came out, and they had a live chicken. They had a live chicken, and people in the crowd were holding up Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. And this group, they had so much heat for 5 minutes before they ever touched. And to me, I was like, that's wrestling. That's what the business is. These kids that brought a chicken to the ring and they had heat and they didn't even do anything. And that's just the art form that I love. And once again, anyone can, you know, come up with a persona. Anyone can come up with, you know, maybe a way of delivering a promo. There's not one set, you know, right. There's not one set wrong way of doing it. It's just an art form that I love. You know, I'm a little too old now to partake in the ring work, but I can still appreciate it. I can still take part in it. Like we said, with BZW's Winter Slam coming up, I'm looking forward to, you know, to hosting the show. And it's just still my way beyond the YouTube channel of you know, having a small part in the wrestling community.
So what's next for Maven? I mean, what can this success on YouTube, I mean, is that the goal, is to just continue to grow the channel? Or could this potentially be kind of parlayed into other interests in the business, other interests outside of the business? Like, what, where's the next thing?
Right now, open-ended.
Okay.
I'm not limiting myself to anything. You know, I don't want to set a goal that is unattainable. I don't want to set a goal that I can't achieve, because I don't know where this can lead to. Obviously, I don't want to stop. I'm having a blast. I look forward to Fridays now, because our videos come out every Friday at noon. I look forward to Fridays now way more than I ever did. You know, before it was just, the weekend's coming. Now it's, you know, and I get to see, you know, if the ideas that we had and what we tried to create, if it worked, if it takes hold, if it takes root, if people are, you know, like, again, educated and entertained. So I want to continue to grow the channel. I would like to see if we can, you know, continue offering what we offer on Fridays, but maybe even take another step, maybe with interviewing people. Once I started hosting, I found I had a love for just interviewing people, doing exactly what you're doing. I'd like to maybe see if I have what you have, if I have that ability, you know, the ability to keep a conversation going and not feel like you're just drilling people with questions. I would also like to see, you know, if we can take it to another level with getting just bigger names on the channel. You know, we're going down, and I don't want to bury the lead, but next month we're going down and we're going to spend a couple days with Booker T, you know, and that's going to be so much fun. My favorite wrestling segment ever is Booker and Steve in the supermarket.
So good.
I think that's that's the best television that wrestling ever put out. And we're going to do a video with Booker and, you know, get into all the nuts and bolts on how that took place. You know, was it a real supermarket and stuff? And I really think there's a path forward with, you know, we're going to obviously do Booker, but just moving forward with other superstars.
All right, before you put us over, we're going to put you over. We don't have the biggest following. We're still working on it here at Below Zero Radio, but the name of your YouTube channel?
Maven K. Huffman.
Maven K. Huffman.
All they got to do is search Maven. You search Maven Huffman, you'll find it.
Like, subscribe, and click the notification bell. Those are the big three, yeah, right?
Click, like, and subscribe. Click, like, and subscribe.
There we go. Okay. All right, I'm going to give you about a minute here. Why don't you cut a promo? Why should people come to Winter Slam? You are the host.
I am the host. But come for far more reasons than seeing me. Obviously, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be attainable to the fans. You're not only going to see me in the show, but you're going to see me. And if you ever wanted to meet me, if you ever wanted to ask me a question, if you ever wanted to get a picture taken with me, if you ever wanted to get an 8x10, which I'm sure there's 3 or 4 people out there that want that.
There may be.
And that's it. But if you do want that, I'm going to make that happen. And you might be saying, but Maven, I don't have much money. You know, it's tough out there. And I only work when it's warm out and it's 20 degrees out. No problem. We got you. All you have to do is be subscribed to the channel. Just come show me you're subscribed to the channel. We'll take the pictures. I just want to meet people. I want to put a good show on for people. And if that's not enough to get people out, which I don't know how it's not, but if it's not, former WWE superstar, my favorite, my absolute favorite Tough Enough champion ever, John Morrison, is going to be at Winter Slam. He's going to be wrestling in a 3-way in the main event. Now, I'm going to be watching the show, but I'm really going to be watching that match, because for me, what John does is just upper echelon. It's next level.
Absolutely. We will discuss more.
Is that a good enough promo for you?
It was. It was. It definitely was. We will discuss that and more right after this quick ad break. We're going to get Commissioner Nick Stokey up here to preview Winter Slam. Winter Slam brought to you, as we mentioned, by Below Zero Wrestling, promo code PODCAST, PODCAST. Promo code PODCAST for 10% off. This is for podcast listeners. Hey, tell a friend. We're not going to be mad if you share the code, but we're not going to publicize it. This is for podcast listeners only. Promo code PODCAST for 10% off your Winter Slam tickets. And as always, Below Zero Radio brought to you by Prairie Pest Control. Excuse me. Having a comprehensive exterminator service assures you of a pest-free home, regardless of the season. Prairie Pest Control conducts a thorough assessment of your house and offers solutions from one-time to seasonal programs. You can check them out on Facebook or give them a call at 701-893-8660. All right, and now welcoming in BZW Commissioner Nick Stokey. Nick, that was awesome, man.
That was amazing, just being able to sit to the side and just listen and watch. And, you know, I'm an avid follower of the YouTube channel. And so, I mean, yeah, just being able to listen to him and, you know, the guy speaks so well. It's no wonder that channel does so well.
All right. Winter Slam.
Oh, Winter Slam.
It's here. It is coming.
Yeah. Winter is coming.
We haven't used that enough on promo. That would have been good. That would have been good.
It's probably copyrighted or something like that.
I think AEW used it when they, remember? They brought back Sting and that, like.
Oh, 100. Yeah, they did.
So it can't be that copyrighted.
I mean, it's just regular words.
Right.
Whatever. Winter is coming.
Yeah. Winter is coming. Winter is coming on Saturday. Doors at 4:30. Show at 6. As we mentioned already. Already. Twice the size of the biggest BZW event ever.
Yeah, it, you know.
And we want to keep pushing.
Yeah, we're not done.
Yeah.
Why don't we get it three times?
Yep.
You know, my phone just dings all night long, every time. And whenever I look at it, 90% of them are tickets.
We're still on the hunt for 1,000.
We're still on the hunt.
We're still on the hunt for 1,000.
Dang it. If we could have 2 days right now, if we could have 2 days of just like insanity, we're going to be right there. I mean, we're going to have a phenomenal crowd as is, but we're going to be right there.
Yep. Okay. Joey Jett Avalon against Lumber Mac. This is going to be, for as much as indie wrestling, I think, has sort of the, I won't say appearance, I'll say reputation of your guys that aren't big enough but are very, very talented, right? That's your reputation. Jack Ledger. Jack Ledger, perfect example. And I'm not saying Jack's not big enough, but what I'm saying is if Jack was 6'1", he'd already be on AEW.
Probably.
Okay.
No,
so,
yeah, no, I get 100% what you're saying.
And so I'm not dumping on him. What I'm saying is if my guy was 6'1", he'd be on AEW.
Correct.
That is not this. This is big meaty men slapping meat.
It's one of your favorite sayings whenever we have something like this on. Yes. Big meaty man slapping meat. I mean, there isn't two.
We'll have the drops ready next time. These five grayed out buttons on the board. I didn't get them ready. It'll be ready for the post show. Right. I promise.
No, they I mean, they're just both just, you know, superstars, just large men inside.
Huge dudes. Ring.
Yeah. Like their presence is insane. So now you put two of them, like, I'm going to make sure that those boards are reinforced.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Joey Jett Avalon, my pal, my buddy.
You guys love each other.
Yeah, my guy. He's got to be stinging a little bit because he wants to be in the title match. That was made super clear. He's not even being, you know, coy about it. He's not, there's no subtlety.
No, none at all. I mean, he's told me this many, many times. He told you it face to face.
Right. He wants to be where Brandon Nitro is, and he's correct. Not. And he's not. And he's coming off of a loss, too.
Yeah, I mean,
he got beat by Sierra in Jamestown.
He did. A very, as we've talked about, I don't know how many different times, a very, very game Sierra.
Yes.
I mean, she's been on a streak like none other in BZW. And to him, you know, maybe he was looking ahead. Maybe he was looking ahead to Winter Slam thinking, you know, there's other things coming up. There's other things. This is just Jamestown. This is just another show. But at the end of the day, he lost.
Yeah.
And he's got to do something now to change his luck or change his trajectory, you know, in BZW.
You talk about trajectory, which is, I think, the word you were looking for there.
That's what it is. What did I say?
Trajection. It's all right. It's a podcast. Well, we can edit it out or not.
We can leave it too.
Leave it in. So if we're saying, and look, we Joey's kind of not the easiest person to get along with, but we love Joey. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say his arrows may be sliding a little bit right now. From where he wants to be, he's sliding. Mac is not sliding right now. Mac is on the come up, as it were. As the kids say, everyone knows. Lost to Eric Redbeard, one of Sly's guys, kind of the enforcer of the group, right? He, yep. Like, if you saw Sly's guys rolling up, like, he's the diesel. He's Kevin Nash.
He was the muscle.
Right, he's the muscle. Change in attitude, change in dress, just a change. Comes out, wins the Rumble on the River Battle Royal at Fergus Falls at Outstate. Awesome event. And then gets himself a tag team win in Jamestown. Of course, Uriah left him immediately after that to reform 24 Karat Honey. But
correct.
He's racking up wins. I, no disrespect to Sly, but losing Sly has been good for old Mac. And I think, man, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job as commissioner, but you win the Rumble on the River, you get a tag team W, and then you beat Joey Jet Avalon head to head at WinterSlam. I think you got to start at least giving Mac a look when we're talking about BZW Gold.
I'm not in disagreement with you.
Sure.
I mean, Joey Jet Avalon could lose 10 matches and still be one of the most credible guys or talent just in general in that locker room.
Sure.
So a win over him, no matter where he is at this point in his BZW career, is very good.
Yes.
You know, so I mean, if he beats him here in 2 days on Saturday, you're right. Like, it's hard to say Mac doesn't deserve to be in those top 2-3 talents of a potential shot at BZW title or titles.
Right. All right. We mentioned Mac as a guy, you just mentioned Joey as a guy who, you know, could survive a loss.
Yes.
Here's who can't survive a loss. That is Fargo's own Jake Taylor in the Sub-Zero title match. People remember his promo from last year at WinterSlam talking about giving himself 12 months, or not necessarily 12 months to the day, but WinterSlam to WinterSlam.
So wrestling calendar.
A BZW calendar year, absolutely, to put BZW gold around his waist. Does he have BZW gold around his waist right now?
No.
Did he acquire any at any time over the last year? This is it. This is it, which is not to bury, obviously, our champion, DeLorean Diggs, who's been an awesome champion. And then two real winners in Nick Nelson and Tommy Douglas.
Tommy Dugan or Tommy Douglas?
Yeah. Nelson, always a crowd favorite. And Tommy Douglas is quite the antagonist of his own. But interesting spot, because D'Lo's been an awesome champion. And everything that we could have asked for comes, you know, makes the town, works his butt off, wins matches, and over again, the poor guy is being asked to do it in multi-man matches.
Every time. I mean, I
don't think he has a one-on-one title defense.
No. No, he doesn't.
Sure.
The last time he was one-on-one for the Sub-Zero Championship is when he won
it.
The Sub-Zero Championship. Yeah. You want to talk about workhorse. You want to talk about a guy that doesn't care what I put in front of him or what Zach puts in front of him. He's going to go out there. He's going to give it his all. He's been an amazing champion. And when it comes to WinterSlam, it's the show of shows.
It is.
So instead of a three-way match, we said, screw it. We're going to go a four-way. And here we are.
And the only thing that I would say about that is it just puts Jake Taylor and, frankly, D'Lo Diggs in tough spots. Because yes. D'Lo wants to be the champion, obviously. Takes tremendous pride in that title. Has been an awesome champion for us. At the same time, this is a career. It's self-imposed. You didn't threaten
I didn't say he had to do it.
Right. But this is a career-threatening match for Jake Taylor. And you'd be, with as deep and as strong and as talented as the BZW roster is right now, my opinion, you'd be hard-pressed to, you know, consider yourself a shoe-in in a one-on-one theoretical 50% versus 50% match. Now both DeLorean, I mean, mathematically, DeLorean has a 25% chance of winning, and Jake Taylor has a 25% chance of his wrestling career even continuing on. So to me, this match has a lot. I mean, like, I don't know if I'm going to go match of the night, because you just keep
just keep building.
Right, we keep raising the stakes. But Jake has been an absolute, again, workhorse. Like, I think worked both Wahpeton shows that I went to. Has been on, like, he's there. He was there when we did the, you know, for the kids event at Replay Games. Like, when you, when you need Jake Taylor, he's there.
Jake has been a great part of BZW. And part of the reason I never put the stipulations or anything like that, because I don't want to lose a Jake Taylor, right. But Jake is so hard on himself in a good way. I mean, look at the man. He said, if I can't be one of the top guys, I don't even want to do it anymore.
Sure.
And so he's put that challenge in himself. He told us, and I, you know, that this is what's happening. I won't be back to BZW and on my own accord if I don't win by WinterSlam. And so not only does that put a little bit of tough on himself, but it puts a little bit on me too, because I have to make the decision of, is he worthy of being in one of those matches?
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, it makes it makes it tough on myself. This wasn't, I mean, he earned it, but it took a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told him straight to his face. It took some time to earn this. If he'd have lost at Horace, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
100%. 100%. Okay. Win or go home for Jake Taylor. Our very first, and we're still up in the air. So it's a TLC match.
Tables, ladders, and chairs.
Tables, ladders, and chairs for the BZW tag team titles. I believe the original was a three-way dance as well, right?
For the tag titles?
No, in the WWE. The first ever TLC match was a three-way dance,
yes,
was it not?
Yes, right. Yes.
So we would love, and I do mean love, to hoist those tag team titles high above the ring. We may not have the technical ability to do so.
We're working on it.
We are working on it.
But there's, no matter what, that ring is going to have a table.
Ladders and chairs, 100%. The only question is going to be, is it pinfall or submission? Because we promise you there ain't going to be no DQ.
There's not going to be a DQ.
No DQ, no count out, no none of that. The only question is pinfall or submission, or will the tag team titles be suspended high above the ring? We're not 100% sure yet on that. What we are 100% sure is that this is going to be electricity from beginning to end. Our champions, the Crucible, coming fresh off the BZW Christmas special, holiday special, excuse me, in Horace, retiring NDS.
Yeah.
Putting them in the dirt, as it were. Retiring NDS, and hey, as we've seen, frankly, how this match got made, this is perfect. Because the Crucible doesn't want to play by the rules anyway.
No, they never have. They've never made it easy on myself. They never made it easy on the BZW fans, the BZW talent, anything like that. We had a number one contenders match in our Christmas special in Horace. And it's 24 Karat Honey versus Royal Flavor. And they decide that they're going to take it upon themselves to not want to wrestle at WinterSlam. So we're going to go cause a DQ.
Yep.
No winners, no challengers, that means, right?
Yep.
I don't do well with that. Sure. You don't run the show. You know, and so that's how this got all together. This is how it got made. It's those guys taking it upon themselves. Now, they don't like rules, and so maybe I didn't put them in the right match, or maybe I did put them in the right match, whatever you want to look at. But this is going to be an absolute slobber knocker,
yes.
Whatever you want to do. I mean, you have a couple guys that are just amazing wrestling talent, and not to take anything away from the Crucible, but the Crucibles they're just big, meaty men like you talked about before, and they're going to... And now you can put a chair in their hand?
Yeah. And that's why, you know, we think they have to have a significant advantage with their size. And with that said, though, you could see some truly wild stuff because of the athletic ability of both Royal Flava and 24 Karat Honey.
Yeah, I mean...
That is four absolute freak show athletes.
Yes.
Very similar, honestly, not necessarily 100%, but like stylistically, very similar to the trouble that NDS gave Crucible. The speed, 100%, the high flying aspect, 100%. And one thing we do need to recommend, and we're in a little bit of a time crunch here, so we might pick up the pace just a touch. But one thing we need to remember here is that while Crucible favorites, no champions advantage here, but the favorites, big, strong, all that, they don't have to get pinned to lose the titles.
No, they don't.
No. If Royal Flava pins Uriah Upton, they're the champs. They're the champs. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
And I will not be standing in Gorilla when that happens. Or if that happens.
I bet not. Okay. Bobby versus Jack 3, The Last Dance. We're talking about, of course, Bobby Brennan, Jack Ledger, two biological brothers. They had the match of the year you guys voted. You, the fans, the BZW fans, you guys voted the match of the year at Fargo Brewing Company. I was lucky enough to be on the call for that. That was insanity. Truly, in the no DQ match, Jack wins round one. Bobby wins round two. This is the rubber match. And we are not, and this is something you and I discussed, right, is we are not sanctioning Bobby Jack 4 unless it's for a title. There is not going to be a further, this you put up the cage match, this is it. This is this what is they're it. Doing. This is it.
There's a cage.
Yep.
There's no way to get out of it. There's no way to escape it. Someone is going to win. Someone's going to lose, and this is it. As much as I've loved what's become of this rivalry and the intensity that's came out of it and the matches that have came out of it, we have to end it somewhere.
Yes.
These two have to move on. Both of them know that. I mean, when they've wrestled other matches, you can tell that it's in the back of their heads.
And two guys that want to be champions, and they're not getting any closer to a championship just beating the hell out of each other.
Bobby had a shot.
Yeah.
Bobby had a shot against a Sub-Zero championship. We were wrong on the DeLorean thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
we
right.
just thought of that. But but because of where his head was at, you could tell that he was not 100% there.
Yeah.
Mentally, physically, yes. But so they need to end it for themselves. The fans, I think the fans could watch this forever.
Yeah.
But as from a BZW standpoint, this is it. This is it. And from their mom.
And what an unbelievable, because we talked about, wrestling's wrestling, right?
Yes.
But this is one thing that I keep pushing at BZW and that I think we do really well, and that's the long-term story. Yes, do our shows work as one-offs? Yes, but why does Below Zero Radio exist? To string it all together, to be the connecting piece, and the long-term story of a brother in Bobby that could not deal with the jealousy of Jack being the first Below Zero champion.
Zach said that today.
Right.
He said he saw it back then, 2 years ago.
Yes. And then this is the culmination of a two-year story of a brother. And how is that not relatable to people? Of a brother that couldn't deal with his little brother's success. And that's where we are now. And by the way, Bobby completely transforming his body. Go look when he hit Jack with that chair shot 2 years ago. That is not the athlete that you see today. He's a new man. He's a new competitor. He's got an edge. He's kind of an a-hole, to be honest.
For those that haven't seen, he's very remindful of a ravishing Rick Rude.
Sure.
In a sense.
Yes.
I mean, all of it.
Yes. So. And I think this one has a real chance to steal the show.
Duh. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. Duh.
Okay. Sierra versus Falcone. Sierra coming off multiple intergender Ws. Right? She's beaten Jay Fowler. She's beaten Downtown Petey Brown. She's beaten Joey Jet Avalon.
Rampage Santana.
I mean, she is getting it done against women. She's getting it done against men. You have to think at some point she's got to have her eyes on BZW Gold.
Oh, 100%. I mean, me and her have had that discussion. She was, because of the weather, she was not in the very first BZW championship ladder match.
Yeah,
I mean,
it wasn't like this.
Yeah, it was not like
this.
It
was not like this.
So she knows as well as I know where she stands in the BZW roster, and that's way up top.
Yep, yep.
And a win over Falcone, a returning Falcone, who wrestles all over the Midwest, very good talent inside that ring.
Yep.
A win over him, I'm going to have a really hard time saying no, that you don't get a shot at something.
And so Falcone, with understanding that, him knowing that.
He called her out.
Right. He calls her out on social media. You can go check that out. I believe it's on our Twitter. It's on our Facebook. Yep. He understands how white hot Sierra is. And he understands that is shine that he can take simply by pinning her to the mat 1, 2, 3.
It's instant elevation. I mean, it instantly boosts you to, wherever you want to put you on the line. But you're instant. I can't think of my words today.
Because nobody has it going. Almost nobody has it going quite like Sierra has it going.
Thank you. Yes, you're right. That's what I was looking for.
Right. Okay. Our main event. Brandon Nitro, your Below Zero Wrestling heavyweight champion versus John Morrison, Johnny Zero. Johnny TV, Johnny, what are we doing?
Johnny Elite.
Yeah.
Johnny whatever. I mean, he's Johnny Zero.
All right. Johnny Zero. Johnny Below.
I like Johnny Zero.
Johnny Zero. And versus Jay Fowler. Why? Okay. People might ask why. Have to go back and remember, our first attempt at the fight for 1,000 people was going to be Summer Night's main event in the parking lot at Fargo Brewing Company. We did run into weather there. We ran into nasty weather there.
Oh, nasty.
Morrison versus Fowler, and that wasn't the only problem, by the way.
No.
That wasn't the only problem. Morrison versus Fowler was supposed to be the main event at Summer Night's main event. That did not happen because travel issues with an airline kept Morrison away. Now, Morrison's history in BGW is he actually fought Jack Ledger to a no contest out in Glendive, Montana. Not a disqualification, not a loss, but a no
contest. Nick Nelson intervened.
Nick Nelson intervened. Yep. So he's still got BZW title on his mind. However, he still has Jay Fowler on his mind because Jay Fowler runs his mouth. So Morrison called out Fowler. However, Morrison still feels like he needs a title shot. So how do you get Morrison and Fowler in a title match? Well, you need our BZW champion, the Bang Daddy, your mom's favorite wrestler, the Heartland Heartthrob. I should just be his manager.
You could.
Brandon Nitro.
Definitely his hype man.
Absolutely. I think this one's just going to define work rate. You talk about this guy can go. That's all three of these dudes. All three of these dudes can absolutely go.
100%. There's no other way to you know say it. I mean, they can go. And all of them in their each different way,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what the three of them are going to bring to the table, and it's going to be an absolute chaotic masterpiece.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how else you're going to say it. I mean,
I'm with you 100%.
It's crazy. It's crazy to have those three at the main event of our show, the biggest show of the year.
Yep.
We're going to put 1,000 people inside the arena, and we're going to blow the absolute roof off this place.
You have to wonder, as good as Jay Fowler is, and you can do some light Twitter searching, some light Googling. Jay Fowler has some gold.
He's got heavy bags.
Not our company, but he's got, as you said, he's got heavy bags. Okay, he's a big darn deal. You want to talk about a guy, if he was 6 foot one, he'd be on TV? If Jay Fowler was 6 foot one, he'd be on TV. He is 100%. As good as it gets, pound for pound, professional wrestling in this industry. And everybody knows what John Morrison can do in that ring.
Yeah.
You have to wonder, with these two competitors, how likely is it that Brandon Nitro retains his title?
Well, I mean, he's 0-2 at WinterSlam already.
And that was my next thing, was that he is winless at WinterSlam.
He has that cloud hanging over his head, and yep. He knows it. I mean, he knows it, but, man, I don't know. It's hard to go against a John Morrison because he's John Morrison.
Right. And as you mentioned, Jay Fowler on the indie circuit, heavy bags.
Brandon Nitro's biggest test ever, not just BZW, but this has got to be his biggest test ever in his professional wrestling career.
I agree. And honestly, too, if this is the end for Brandon, he's been a heck of a champion.
He's to
rescue the people from the Gino Rivera era.
The hostage that Gino caused me for 6 months of not showing up to BZW.
Yeah, not only not defending his title, but not showing up for 6 months. And Brandon has been there at every show. He's defended his title successfully. He's been awesome with the fans. Today's intro was Maven, but who's our normal intro? Brandon Nitro, the Heartland Heartthrob.
He's a BZW OG.
He absolutely is, and we just appreciate everything that he's done and what an awesome champion that he has been for this company. We want to thank Maven Huffman.
Oh, man, amazing.
We want to thank our sponsors, us, and Prairie Pest Control. We want to thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, but people. Folks,
see you Saturday
and get your butts to WinterSlam. We will see you Saturday.